Part of spring in Charlottesville, longer than dogwood trees.
We can't actually find a record of him being a current employee.
Well, we've been here a long time. It's WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the morning. It's what it's all about, baby. John.
The best things in life are free, but you can keep them for the birds and bees. Now give me more.
That is what you're super. Can you imagine, you know, you get one of those jib jab videos of, you know, paste all of your local county supervisors and your state senate and House of Delegates members, and they're all just dancing around to money is what I want. And every it's such an incremental boil. It, and it's not just Albemarle County, Fluvanna's schools, it's about 1.25% increase. Every year it goes up a little bit, and they shrug, and out of one face they'll tell you inflation isn't what you think it is. And then when they do their school budget, they say, well, we need to factor in 3% inflation. Hang on, didn't you just tell us... Oh, that was President Biden told you that the inflation is imaginary. But we here at the school board, we need to factor in for the cost of living increases. Just had the report yesterday. Consumer price index way up again. And then, you know, you got to throw in the manufacturing, the producer price index. So the cost of making stuff is going up actually faster than the cost of buying the stuff, which means the makers are getting hit, which means people are getting laid off. You don't have to be Paul Krugman to understand this. Actually, Paul Krugman understands it. He just goes out there and says, here's what they told me to say about the economy because it's great. And so you have Albemarle County's got their, you know, one of the budget town halls coming. And we're all in deadline period. I think it's the 21st. It is most of these places have to advertise their tax rate, which means they have to publish it online and in media sources. They used to even actually have to do it in the radio, but now it's as long as you do a print. And that's, you know, how do they do that? As these newspapers have gone out of print, you know, out the Daily Progress, you have to get mailed to your house. Does that qualify under state law as an advertisement of the tax rate? I mean, there is responsibilities to being in the media. Now, we'll obviously tell you what they advertise their tax rates are, and they're talking about using the assessor. City of Charlottesville is talking about actually increasing the tax rate for the first time in, gosh, collective memory. They usually just let the assessor do their dirty work for them and then turn around. And every year, John Lowry is great at this, the chair of the Albemarle GOP. I mean, you see, they take flack when they're flying, you know, quite frequently, but John Lowry has an amazing Excel spreadsheet of all the monies that are left over at the end of a budget cycle in all these places, yet they turn their pockets inside out and come back to you and say, but everything costs more, and don't you want this to be the message you send to the world about your community? This is the ultimate in fiscal virtue signaling. We'll spend more money on kids because we think kids matter. But you won't, because you've practically immolated yourselves on the steps of the General Assembly, allow parents to make their own choices in how those kids are educated. And don't kid yourself. The largest driver of all of your local tax rates is going to be schools. And the one thing, we were just talking about this with Neil, the one thing that is almost axiomatic: if you fund your schools with property tax rates, you will have failing schools and gentrification. You will have NIMBYism on the march because nobody wants their property values to go down. Because it's not about having a place to live, it's about having some investment portfolio now. And that's not new. I'm going to portray it like that's a new feature of our societal deconstruction. But you'll watch the budget meeting tonight with Albemarle County and Fluvanna's coming, Greene's County. We got a schedule. Some of these folks are scheduling these town halls. Some of them, they don't want a town hall with anybody. They don't want anyone showing up there and asking questions or poking their nose where it doesn't belong. So budget calendar in Greene County. Is budget town hall March 25th. The 21st is the deadline for the ad. They're having a budget workshop tonight as well at the supervisors. And then there's going to be a town hall at Four Seasons in Rutgersville. And then another one on the 28th. So anyway, everyone's having these. It's not just Albemarle County. But the virtue signaling with money is what they do. So it's going to be more. I got hit. I got $1,000 on the tax hikes in Fluvanna County. And you know, shake and shrug your head and say, oh, that's not. It's like $100 a month, my rent, quote, went up. And Vinny's mortgage company that I deal with, you know, they can't figure it out. They're like, your escrow account is falling behind. Yeah, because my freaking county just let the taxes go up again. And you can't figure that out? And I'm paying you what? But each year, and the reason I brought up the inflation and the cost of living increase, because this is what they shrug and they say, but teachers, it's $88,000 in the Fluvanna County proposal, the Albemarle County proposal for social workers. Social worker aides for the kids. More and more of the virtue signaling that says you no longer are responsible for your children. We will take this on. We're going to have social workers. We're going to have psychologists. Could you teach them to do math? Oh, I'm sorry. That's white supremacist. We don't teach math anymore. We barely acknowledge that math exists. That's for the Asian kids to do up at Thomas Jefferson High School. They'll build our bridges from now on, especially the Chi-Coms. They're very good at it. And every year we go through the same dance. Every year we talk about the tax increases. And every year the county supervisors come out and tell you how much tax money they've spent on easements and protecting the view shed. And you fall further and further behind, and more people fall below the poverty level or at least the subsistence level, so they need some sort of assistance. And more people on that roster means more and more tax money from the folks who are left on the other side of the Mendoza line. And I asked this when we were at CPAC, and I ask it again, and I ask it again, and I ask it again. Do we have to become as bad as El Salvador or Argentina before we wake up? I'm not even including Haiti in that discussion because I had dear friends when I was growing up that were Haitian immigrants to this country, and they said the good times in Haiti is when they're corrupt. when they're inept. The bad times are when they're corrupt. I mean, they just assassinate people. And remember what Mason told us on Monday. Cuba is so bad, they're getting their medicines black market from Haiti. Haiti is a better country than Cuba right now. And they've got armed gangs of thugs running. Do you think the Garrett Square gangs and North Downtown drug gangs are bad? It's a nightmare down there. But that's where we're heading. That is where we're heading. Where it's just a slightly different environment than it is in these Middle Eastern collapsed countries where guys with machine guns drive around in the back of Toyota pickup trucks thugging up on little villages who Lord knows what they think every morning when they wake up. They're certainly not worried what their tax rate is. They're worried about somebody coming along and taking their daughters from them, putting them into, you know, sex slavery. So, yeah, we've got it better than a lot of other places in the world. But for how much longer? Because I don't see anyone standing up. You know, Fluvanna, we had tax cutters and fiscal responsibilians. Danny Reed and these folks getting onto the school board. With the school board, they were hammering them with a club called insurance premiums. You need to increase the Fluvanna tax rates again because the insurance premiums went up. I thought Obamacare was supposed to fix all that. That was just another place for you to look the other way while we were busy sneaking out the back door. Now I've gone done did and triggered you this morning. Let me get some folks in here on the phone at 434-964-10. So yeah, we're going to talk about the Georgia charges getting dropped on prison, then the TikTok ban, and is it going to apply to Smithfield or Volvo as well? But let me see who this is. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, good morning, Joe. It's Hank.
Hey, Hank, one second here. Let me get line two on the hold, and we'll find out what Hank has. Good morning. Who's this?
This is Joe from Sandersville. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joe. I've got Hank right ahead of you. Do you mind hanging on for a moment?
No problem.
All right, let's see what Hank has for us. Good morning, Hank. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, pretty good, Joe. You know the problem with today's youth is they don't, young people, the Gen Zers or whatever, they can't see things the way you and I did. And what you're talking about with the prices and the taxes and everything in El Salvador. Yesterday I was at the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
and I watched a couple in front of me, and they were a young couple. They had two small children. They were buying the basics, the same basics that I remember buying when I was a young father. Back in the day, you know, in 19, I know we got to account for inflation and everything, but I'm trying to build to a point here. In 1985, when I got married, my wife and I could eat very well for $50 to $60 for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about processed, nasty food. I'm talking about relatively healthy food. We could eat well, the two of us, for a week. Yesterday, I watched, put up on the scanner, and we're talking Similac and diapers, all the things that, you know, every family has to have, and some basic things to be able to eat. The total bill came up to, and none of it was extravagant. We're not talking about lobsters and shrimp. I mean, we're talking about basic food stuff and basic supplies. $225. Now, you factor this into the matter of time, $15 an hour. That couple, before taxes, if they weren't paying any taxes, then I'm just assuming, and I don't know what they're making, but the Democrats tout the $15, the living wage. Okay, that living wage, you worked about 12 hours just to put food that went across that scanner. 12 hours of your pay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a day and a half. You worked a day and a half in time to be able to put that food in. This is not sustainable, and I don't know when they're going to figure this out.
Well, and part of how they figure it out is they continue to say that there's someone else that we can get the money from. There's always that, you know, mysterious, greedy, evildoer behind the wall. This is what I mentioned about Lenin, when Lenin, not John, but Vladimir, was putting the band together in Moscow. He pitted the poor against the middle class. So you, me, we're middle class. And the poor, the folks who are living in public housing, are told we are the greedy keepers and the ones who won't give them more money so that there's more aid for their public housing and their subsidized groceries. And all the while, the actual folks who are manipulating Wall Street, and I'm not lying, I'm not going to be one of these conservatives that says Wall Street has been great. Wall Street was corrupted in 1994, when during the Clinton administration, radical changes were done to how Wall Street operates. And ever since then, we've been on this track. And we, you know, this is why, while you and I are seeing this at the grocery store, Wall Street is hitting record numbers. it's no longer even a hinged up economic indicator. We have people like George Soros and Warren Buffett and here locally, Sonia Smith and Michael Bills, who continue to generate wealth without generating jobs. And that's where we have to, you know, remember is that if we're just generating wealth because we're a professor at a university, that's not creating any more than maybe that one staffer that has to, you know, keep my schedule for me. That's only one job I create. Whereas, you know, back in the days, even in the Industrial Revolution, if you were making money, you were also employing a lot of people. And that's what we've grown completely disconnected by, that this cost of living and the consumer price index. One of the things, and this is Ron Paul, classic Ron Paul, is you can't forget the labor law impact on that consumer price index. We keep saying making stuff in China is bad. Well, making stuff in China is 75% cheaper than it is for making it in the United States. Why is that? We were talking about that with Neil the other day. It's just, you know, what are these regulatory and structural burdens on being able to manage things? And I think we as a society need to realize that we need to be creating jobs here. People need to go to work. People need to be able to earn enough. You mentioned the wages, the Orange Dot report that Ridge Schuyler does semi-annually says that you need to take home $34,000 a year to be able to pay the basic bills, live paycheck to paycheck. That means you need to make as a salary probably close to $40,000 a year in order to pay that nut. You're not doing that on $15 an hour.
No. And at the same time, you talk about education and the taxes. All right, in the county of Albemarle, I think last I checked, we have roughly somewhere around 15,000 students. We are spending roughly $13,000 per student.
Yep.
Now, do you honestly, can any parent out there tell me that you think you are getting a $13,000 a year quality education that you could get if you were given the $13,000 a year to put your child in private school?
I think St. Anne's Belfield, it's $8,000 for tuition. So, I mean, you do the math right there, or maybe it's the Blue Ridge. I can't remember which one of the private schools, but they charge way less than the county spends. And actually, I saw a number that said the county was spending closer to $16 per student, or maybe that was their proposed budget, was to up their spending per student to $16,000 per student per year. That's the other reason they immolate themselves on the altar of preventing money follows the child's school choice, because they realize how they've been caught out there now. They're creating nothing, and the parents are waking up to it. But it's still there's still that legislative firewall that they try to stand up in there with and call you a greedy so-and-so or whatever.
Well, you know,
name calling.
You're saying Savannah went up on you about $1,000 property tax.
Yep.
I figured it out. I'm roughly paying here in the county of Albaugh $7 a day per day. I rent my house and lands to the county from the county for $7 per day. Now, per day, I don't get, what do I get for that? Do I get municipal water? No. Do I get sewage? No. Do I get trash picked up? No. What do I get? I get fire protection and police protection if I ever need it. Other than that, what does it benefit me? Absolutely nothing.
And by the way, if you're far enough out in the county so that you don't have water or sewer, it's going to be 5-10 minutes even at best if a police officer, because it's such a big area that they have to cover, because they continue to cut there too, because again, virtue signaling with a budget, they want to sit there and say, well, we're against the criminalization of society and so on and so forth. So if somebody breaks into your house, Hank, you're generally on your own. I'm coming up on my news here. I'm going to have to run. We'll get Joe coming up after the news. You have a great morning, sir.
Unlike cryptocurrency, you can download the Seville 107.5 smartphone app for free, and it will never go down in value. Get yours at the Google Play or iTunes store. I can call you, baby.
Joe Thomas in the morning, and the third world country that we're waking up in, Haywood texts me, says, heading there, we are there now, third world America is now. Well, if you look at it, you know, how much different than Haiti are we? We practice our dysfunction in a more civilized Western practice tone, and we don't actually assassinate our presidents anymore. We assassinate their character, and then the country goes on for what has Haiti gone on for 3 years without, you know, an executive branch. And now the gangs are running the streets, and whoever has the biggest police force wins. This is only, you know, the third or fourth one of these third world beep hole countries that have had this happen in the last year, where, you know, the police department of the capital city is squaring off with the army, and because Generalissimo number one controls the army, and, you know, Prime Minister number two runs the police department, and they're squaring off with armed battles in the streets. How far removed from this are we? And we were talking about the tax rates and the virtue signaling by way of budget that we're suffering under, that continues to take more money out of our pockets to give the government more people. Now instead of just law enforcement, we have to have social workers, and we have to have mental health care specialists. And nobody bothers to ask, why can't I do that? Coming up in a little while, Dr. Josh Umber of Atlas MD, the founding father, really, of the Direct Primary Care Association. Again, asking, why can't we? Why do we have to deal with Blue Cross Blue Shield or Anthem or any one of these other groups? Why? Be like that 3-year-old who now, having learned enough of the language, will tell his parents every time they give him a direction. Why? If you're like me at all, you loved that. Man, I just love when people just ask me why all the time. Because you have to, it hones your skill. And I've had three and four-year-olds whose answer to every direction was why. And you can't be mad at them. They're a four-year-old. They're trying to figure out why. That's honestly what's going on in their head. They're like, well, why do I do this? And we lose that ability to say, why do we do this? Why does the government have to be the one doing these things? Well, because people are poor because they can't find a job that pays them more than 40 grand a year. How many jobs in this city, in this ADI, pay $45,000, $50,000 a year? And what you're feeding is the Marxists' belief that this is racism, this is white supremacy, so they can gin up the Black Liberation Army to march on the street again and claim that the white supremacists are the ones that are keeping the black or brown populations down. It's not. It's the guy hiding behind you in the government suit. And the sooner we wake up from this, the less likely we have to become El Salvador or Argentina before we wake up to free market reforms and allow the economy to fly again. And heaven forbid we have to become as bad as Haiti. I don't know what happened to Joe. He can. I'm sorry about that. You know, we were going to come to you after Hank, and then the line dropped. So we will go. Maybe this is Joe back to us. Good morning. You're on the air with Joe Thomas in the morning. Who's this?
Good morning, Joe. It's Chris. How you doing?
Okay. Chris, can I call you Joe anyway, since we lost the call with Joe from Standardsville on it? I'm kidding.
You can call me anything you want, but don't ever call me late for dinner. That's all I can say.
It's a classic. You can't beat the classics anyway. So what's on your mind?
Well, it's kind of interesting. It kind of goes to this third world situation and stuff that you're talking about now. When George Washington wanted to get his troops in order, you know, all he had was a bunch of farmers, basically.
Yeah.
And one of the things he told them was, live as in as holy a way as you possibly can. In other words, follow the Ten Commandments as best you can while you're in my army. Be pious as you can while you're in my army, and we will defeat the British. So he kind of hung a lot of his success of his men on them being righteous and good.
Yep. Yes, he did.
And it paid off. And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't believe in spiritual matters and don't think that, you know, that accounts for much. But as far as George Washington, who is the father of our country, is concerned, he thought it was paramount.
Well, there's also there's the spiritual, certainly, and giving you know, superhuman abilities to humans because of your faith is axiomatic, I believe. But there's also a I don't want to use the word because it's been bastardized, but a political benefit to behaving in a pious and Christian and righteous way, Chris. So you're walking down the street, you're an army, and the farmers around the countryside, they're just trying to live, and they've heard stories about battles between the rebels and the redcoats, and most of them, you know, have family in Britain and they're connected there. The whole Patrick Henry speech was the Virginia General Assembly was not supporting revolution. And Patrick Henry was trying to convince them that they were on a fool's errand. So as the American rebels walked down and came to towns and arrived in places and met other colonials of the time, they would maybe have been told horror stories by the redcoats who had, you know, been governing the area, and the colonial government of Great Britain was sending out smear campaigns about George Washington and these soldiers, and then they would arrive and they'd be righteous, caring, compassionate people who were trying to help the community, and you won the they use this phrase a lot, the hearts and minds of the civilian population of the colonies were won over, even though maybe half of us, maybe I've heard people say a third, like we were divided in thirds. A third of us wanted to revolt, a third of us wanted to stay in Britain, and about a third of us were undecided, we were too busy or whatever. But you win over that other third, that undecided bunch, by your behavior. When an American soldier is somewhere overseas, you know, their behavior, they're our ambassador, And that's why, you know, I don't think there's a better ambassador. All these political ambassadors, they're goobers compared to the men and women who, you know, stand a post voluntarily for us. These people, but they need to be reminded to be that pious person. Anyway, go ahead.
But this is my point, is that all the things that we see happening in our culture right now, things being turned upside down, the woke, what's basically happening is that these people are trying to redefine sin.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They're trying to redefine sin. Instead of going with the Christian supernatural definitions of how we are to conduct our lives and treat our neighbor, they've given up on that. Won't say it in public. They won't come out and say, look, ditch the church.
Yeah.
That no longer stands. Yeah. We've got a better idea.
Yeah, they won't say that out loud. Yeah, you know them for that.
No, they can't. They can't say it out loud because they know that they'll be refuted and they'll be rebuked and they'll be rejected.
Mm-hmm.
So they do it in these offhand ways by getting into our universities and our corporations and our entertainment, and they try to redefine sin. This is what is really bad.
Yeah.
Instead of going with the monumental idea that Washington knew, which is this has already been figured out 2,000 years ago, and we're going to adhere to it because there has been no better ideas.
You know,
none have come along.
You remember when the book came out, The 5,000 Year Leap, Chris?
Yeah.
It's Skousen.
Listening to you. Yeah.
But, you know, and you know, his brother is the one that runs Freedom Fest that we often go to. It was in Memphis last year. Very libertarian family. But the whole point of The 5,000 Year Leap is when that liberty was won by General Washington and those soldiers who, you know, battled the greatest, most well-armed, well-trained army on the planet and won, defeated them, the professional soldiers versus the amateurs. That country that was created ushered in an era that had been unseen since Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. The leap forward in advancements in knowledge and technology and ability and the human condition was unheard of prior to the founding of the United States. And we've lost that. See, we feel guilty about that. We go on apology tours like President Obama did and bow and say, oh, it was bad for us to do that. Wrong. It wasn't bad for us to do it. It's bad for us to take it for granted. It's bad for us to abuse it, but it wasn't bad for us to do it.
No, not at all. And I tell you, George Washington quelled a revolt after the revolution of his officers. They hadn't been paid by the Congress.
Yeah.
And they were going to storm Congress and demand that they be paid their back pay from the Revolutionary War. And he went and met with them, and he pulled his note out of his coat, and he saw that he couldn't read it, so he went into his pocket to get his glasses, and he said, you know, I've lost my sight over the years. And he put his glasses on, and his officers started crying, and they started seeing how much the man had given for his country. And how closely they had followed him and obeyed him, and he stopped the revolt just by pulling a pair of glasses out of his pocket and putting them on his face so he could read the note to them.
Well, he also stopped it by going to Congress and saying, "You will pay these people." You did say, "You know,
but yield to their honor."
Yeah,
and it worked. They didn't storm Congress. You know, mm-hmm. They ended up saying, okay, well, you know, we'll just wait and see what happens.
Well, and they had faith in him. That's that famous portrait. My favorite portrait of all the depictions of the American Foundation is in Annapolis, where the Congress was meeting. George Washington turning in his commission to them and returning to private, after they had agreed to, you know, get the back pay for his officers, they were ready to just anoint him King of America because most of them had been British subjects. So we were kind of thinking, hey, all right, we've kicked out the British, but we should probably be very much like them. And he said, no, that's not what we fought for. We fought for, you know, the citizens to lead, not to for there to be some special person, you know, that's been given a throne and an authority that, you know, maybe George Washington won. I know there's a kid, he's like 60 something, in Colorado, who is the last living direct descendant of George Washington, who would be King of America if George had changed his mind on that date when he came to Annapolis.
Yeah.
But that again speaks to his humility. Here's how many people, if you're told, we are going to make you king right now with ultimate authority over everything, how many people turn that down, Chris?
Well, you know, King George made a statement about that very situation, not you know, talking about that instance, but he said, if General Washington turns down his power, and he turns down the king, the idea of being a king in that country, he'll be the greatest man in the world. King George, the man he was fighting, said that.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's amazing, man. These things that are associated with George Washington that happened in his life, people should look them up. it's pretty amazing. They're miracles. They are literal miracles that happened in relation to this man starting this country. Yeah. And it wasn't just him.
Oh, no.
You know, but a lot of other people, but he was the head of it.
But his arrival, his invitation to the Continental Congress, the Constitutional Convention in 1789, is not an accident either, because they needed somebody who could lead a bunch of disparate people, you know, who were all infighting and squabbling amongst themselves to get things taken care of and understand the priorities and get there. And he invented the American presidency. I think he'd be disappointed to see what we've let it turn into, because I think, you know, the presidency has become this kingship, with his, you know, his Knights of the Round Table, his cabinet secretaries, all with their own police departments and all with their own court systems, ready to eat out your substance in those multitude of offices. I've got to run to the news, my friend. You have a great morning. God bless you.
Hey, take care. Thanks for
it's like you put a Let's Go Brandon case on your smartphone.
Let's Go Brandon. Let's Go Brandon. I agree.
Listen live on the free Seville 107.5 app.
Man walks down the street. It's a street in a strange world. Maybe it's the third world. Maybe it's his first time around. Doesn't speak language. Holds no currency. He is a foreign man. He is surrounded by sound. Cattle in the marketplace, scatterings and orphanages.
Joe Thomas in the morning.
He sees angels in the architecture, spinning in infinity. He says, hey, hallelujah.
So these third world countries, as they continue to have more and more problems, how much can we learn from, you know, Haiti? I brought this up earlier. You know, Mason told us on Monday that Cuba is so bad off, they're getting their medicine from Haiti. And that's probably been restricted for the time being right now while things get nutty there. But how far removed, how far underneath the raiment of civility are we removed from that kind of stuff? Mason is on the line with us, and we got Dr. Clark standing by as well. Good morning, Mason. What's going on?
Morning, sir. Oh, there's so much going on.
how far removed, you know, under our genteel facade, are we removed from what's going on in places like Haiti?
Well, let me tell you a little about Haiti. Haiti, we need to let them elect their own government,
mm-hmm.
and be their own failure, and be their own failure, so they can't blame anybody but themselves. I'm not sure how long, but it's been a while since we've allowed them to be, to elect their own. Now they get firearms from Miami, military grade long guns, and they don't get them in the normal way. They don't come on container ships. They come out of what's called the Miami River, and it's smaller transporters. And apparently we have a hard time X-raying stuff if we do it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look it up, and it'll tell you a little bit about it, I think.
Well, did you see the Department of Defense just held a briefing yesterday with the Florida congressional delegation, and Matt Gaetz came out and said they told him that they're expecting a mass exodus of Haitian migrants who are actually seeking asylum, not just a bunch of poor people who say I want asylum from poverty. These folks are really in threat of being killed.
That's correct. But why didn't they leave a year ago when they see things getting worse? Everybody always hopes, oh, it'll get better, it'll get better. I think they hope that. It'll get better, it'll get better, it'll get better. And it doesn't. And when you're in a downward spiral, your plane's finally going to hit the ground. And
it's true.
Supply them. And this sounds a little rough and a little callous, but maybe supply them with more ammo. Maybe supply them with more guns. Move the good people out.
Well,
and let them go at each other.
You bring up a great point, and we see it in Ukraine with all the civilians who now all of a sudden have long guns and rifles and are standing their ground like our citizen farmers were when we were fighting off an invading army in the 1700s. If we are a country that truly believes that an armed population is the best way to control tyranny, well, then you're right. Let's give every Haitian man, woman, and child one rifle and one handgun. And let's see how long these dictators get to thug up. Because I've had folks tell me, in Syria and in Afghanistan, you'd have these little villages, little farming villages, and then they would refer to them as the Toyota jihadis. And they'd come running through in their forerunners and their tundras, and the back of the truck would have a bunch of armed soldiers in it, and they would take kids, and they would take boys for the army and girls for who knows what, and they just threaten everybody because they were the only ones armed enough to do anything about it.
Right, you can't stop them when they're of that, when they have that material to work with.
Yeah. Anyway, what else is on your mind?
You had a gentleman on. I missed his name. He talked about seeing a couple in the grocery line. And they had Similac. For those that don't know, that's a powdered milk for babies.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many different flavors, brands. I always want to ask them when I'm standing in line, and I never do because it's none of my business, but how come you're not breastfeeding? Now, some women can't breastfeed medically, mm-hmm. but from what I've read, a lot of people choose not to breastfeed that could breastfeed that would be better for their baby. And these cans of Similac, man, they're like $50 a shot.
Oh, they are. And some of them are manufactured in places where they don't like us very much, like China. And I know you brought this up, and we've got this TikTok ban on the Newswire. I'm thinking, well, when does this apply to Smithfield Foods or you mentioned Volvo or any of these farms that are owned by the Chinese Communist Party these days?
Yeah. Now, a few years ago, and I think it might have been like 15, off the top of my head, Nestle. I will never buy a Nestle product if I can help it, because they were manufacturing, I believe in Switzerland, powdered milk for babies that wasn't up to the quality that it should be, and they knew it.
Oh, well. That's a bad scene as well. You know, foreign, lack of controls. But then, what are we allowing into the country as well? My wife had issues with our first child, but our second kid's all breastfed. And believe me, I'll go get my wife, on the air. She is ardent, just like you are. We should be breastfeeding. But now. And this is going to segue into Dr. Clark's call, I'm sure. Because of the COVID shots, a lot of women are being told not to breastfeed, funny enough, because they'd had the COVID shots. And I wonder if nobody's made the connection to this, is why are women being told that it's not safe to breastfeed anymore?
Did not know that.
Yeah. So anyway, good stuff, Mason. You have a great morning, sir.
Thanks, Joe. You too.
Always good. And man, this is like Joe's conversation pit this morning. Dr. Clark, good morning, sir. What's on your mind?
Joe, the lawfare's not going so well for him right now, is it?
Well, they just dropped the 6 charges in Georgia, basically saying to Fannie Lewis, you're a mess and you're screwing this up and we've got to throw these ones out because you've been a mess.
Yeah, so the lawfare is not going so good, and a modest basket of groceries is $240. Polling is not going real well. You're going to have something soon, Joe, new to go after Trump with. Now, so before we get into where we're going, 4 years ago, did we pretty much know that the FBI and the CIA and the DOJ would lie to us?
We were finding it out pretty quickly.
We were. Did we know that the CDC and the NIH and Anthony Fauci would lie to us at that time? Or did we still have some trust in what was supposed to be our medical watchdogs?
Well, still a percentage of us were believing what we were being told, because losing faith in the system is a dangerous thing. It's like Jefferson warned us, you know, in the Declaration of Independence, prudence hath shown.
So hindsight's a great thing. But 4 years ago, we were not fully cognizant of what we're cognizant of now.
Well, some of us were. Now, we were just getting banned on platforms that we might distribute that information on.
Well, I think a certain host and caller talked about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine long before they had a vaccine. But anyway, what's going to come next, Joe, is the left is going to suddenly discover that there's problems with the spike proteins in the jab. And it's all whose fault?
Donald Trump's.
It's all Trump's fault.
Because he made the vaccine.
Right.
It'll be called the Trump shot at that point. They'll start calling it the Trump shot.
He had a lab set up in the Oval Office. They'll have photos of him in a white coat with the safety glasses on doing the recombinant DNA stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's been a common thing, and I think that's one of the things that's that stink in the room that you're not quite sure where it's coming from. We've been doing it for a long time, and it's something that we have to figure out. You know, we spend all this time cloying and harping on nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons require a missile and a launching technology and computers. I mean, just look every time another Woodstock missile is shot from North Korea and it circles back on itself and wanders in the air like Woodstock from the Charlie Brown comic books and then finally splashes down somewhere in the Sea of Japan. You understand that it's a lot harder to, you know, create a nuclear weapon, but a bioweapon. Is it a bunch of tourists who we send back from Italy with a bug?
So here's the main thing you need to remember about China's involvement. When China would not allow anybody to leave Wuhan and go anywhere else in China, they let 5 million people get on commercial airliners and go everywhere else on the planet.
Sure.
So, what you said, you need a missile to deliver a nuclear weapon. I guess you just need commercial airliners to deliver a bioweapon.
And what do terrorists do as a rule? They take the things that you hold dear as your societal, commonplace societal activities and weaponize them against you. And that's what terrorists do, and that's what these thugs in Wuhan are. They're no better than the C4 vest wearing jihadis. They're just terrorists. And I don't want to give Chairman Xi any more gravitas than he's got billions of them, but they're just global terrorists.
Well, look for it to come, Joe. It's all Trump's fault. The clock shot is going to be Trump's fault.
Yeah, it's the Trump shot. You're not the first person who said that to me either, Dr. Clark, but it's It's out there. By the way, on the subject of what you're talking about coming up, new book is out called Big Intel. It's by a fellow named Dr. Michael Waller, and he's going to be on with us to talk about that after the 7:30 news. So, yeah, again, weaponization of the things that we hold dear or we count on, and to, only to realize that we can't count on them anymore. You be good, my friend, and you hang in there.
I'm hanging.
Making you part of his unauthorized autobiography every morning.
There's an award you're going to be receiving. It's called the Benjamin Franklin Award for Journalistic Excellence.
Joe Thomas in the Morning on WCHV.
I looked on the chairs. I looked on the tables. I tried to find the key to 50 million fables. They call me the seeker.
Joe Thomas in the Morning. And, you know, so you say, what would be the point? Why would you? Because the institution must protect itself. At some point, we crossed a Rubicon where the government stopped being the agent of the community's representation and became an entity in and of itself. Maybe it's Civil War. I think the Civil War played a big part in its establishment of, well, you grabastic monkeys, you can't handle yourselves, so we're going to take care of it ourselves here in the central government. And the central government views the citizens, if not as its enemy, as a nuisance that must be dealt with. And that's why we're seeing all of these things take place, is because the government is in the midst of defending itself against the very citizens that created it. Somebody page Isaac Asimov and tell him to get back in here and get those
trusting
three laws.
You to know information from disinformation.
I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID.
Without a government board.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Oh, no.
WCHV.
While we have hate speech and people wielding everything short of citronella torches on grounds, chasing students around and threatening them physically, much like they did in 2017, the president is huddled with his blue ribbon committee that is still working on what to say about it all. While that is going on, if there are any enclaves at the University of Virginia where they teach English, there's a format in English where if you're teaching somebody new to the language, you take the word and then you ask them to use it in a sentence. I think this is the premise behind Babbel and some of the other foreign language programs. It's immersive. Use the word in a sentence. And, you know, there are words that we're not supposed to use anymore. So for example, if you want to describe the process by which the normal growth of something is substantially impeded, that's a long way of saying that you retarded its growth. And I think, you know, we have some examples of that kind of growth that has been retarded. An example, CBS 19 did a wonderful expose in which they went and asked University of Virginia students what they thought about the new law of the land that forbade public institutions of higher learning to consider whether or not mommy or daddy are a heavy contributor to the university or not. And this fine fellow just had to shake my head when this wahoo told the TV camera this with all the earnestness he could muster.
White rich people who've like consistently over time like been able to go to like better education institutions, and so it just kind of perpetuates people who like have in like today's society like lots of privilege.
If my kid was
all right, so before we get to the next clip, so what do you manage the genetic background of such a speaker would be? What do you think? What kind of family do you think the speaker came from? And I'm going to go on. And then there was another fellow who said this.
You know, just in terms of merit base was, you know, intelligent enough and deserved to come here. He would get in, and that would make me proud.
All right, so then there was that fellow, and then this young lady at public college. Do we have her clip? And UVA students are reacting to that prohibition.
I had to apply 3 times to get in here, and if, you know, one of my parents had just gone here and it would have been easier, then maybe I wouldn't have worked as hard.
Maybe I wouldn't have worked as hard. So notice, she's the female. And then the second speaker was a subcontinental, I think is what we used to refer to, an Asian, an Indian. I don't know how many generations his family's lived here, but he is certainly a brown person, as Joy Brown calls them. Not Joy Brown. Joy, well, you know who I mean on The View. Joy Reid, thank you. Joy Reid would call him a brown person. But then the bag of intellect that we led off with.
3 times to get in here, and if, you know, one of my parents had just gone here, it would have been easier, then maybe I wouldn't have worked as hard.
Maybe I wouldn't have worked as hard. I love that sentence, you know, the attitude of it. But then, of course, this fella.
White rich people who've, like, consistently over time, like, been able to go to, like, better education institutions. And so it just kind of perpetuates people who, like, have, in, like, today's society, like, lots of privilege.
So you wouldn't be wrong if you would say, well, of all those people you played, Joe, he's the Caucasian. Yes, he was the very strapping young Caucasian fella who I'm sure stares at the ceiling at night in his dormitory or his off-campus apartment, staring at the ceiling, just crippled with the white guilt. And I'm sure his mom and dad, who worked very hard at whatever it is they learned at the University of Virginia and applied themselves diligently to that pursuit to make enough money for him to go to the University of Virginia, I'm sure, as all parents, no matter how addled their child winds up being, is so very proud. But as my English teacher once said, you know, once you learn about that word that you would use to describe, you know, keeping something from its normal growth, use the word retard in a sentence.
The only social media app that doesn't tell you what the Chinese government wants you to hear. Or the FBI either.
The coercive power of government.
Download the free Seaville 1075 app. Surveillance mics sold separately.
You say you haven't done the same since you had your little crash, but you might feel better if they gave you some cash. The more I think about it, old Billy was right. Let's kill all the loggers, kill them tonight. You don't want to work, you want to live like a king. But the big bad world doesn't owe you a thing. Get over it. Get over it. If you don't want to play, then you might as well fit. Get over it. Get over
see,
it.
See, it's that inverse connection. You know, I apologize, the two bumper music's playing at the same time, but I know that if I don't answer the phone right away, people tend to hang up. I wanted to get to you there. The subject of pork, though, comes up on the emails at joe@wchv.com, where President Biden's announcing all these infrastructural projects. Dan writes in, Joe, what is the government to do but to create the infrastructure on which society exists? But that's not what this is. This is about shovel-ready jobs. This is the bait and switch of, I'm going to come in and hire a bunch of you to work for the government until, like, January of next year, and you'll all be happy because you'll be taking home prevailing wage. And then, you know, we can go back to our previously scheduled economic decline. Thanks for hanging on the line. Good morning. Who's this?
Morning, Joe. It's Mike.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing this morning, sir? Sorry, your call dropped out the other day. Hopefully your cell hangs on.
I was in the Albemarle entrance corridor at the time.
Yeah, that'll kill you.
I'm firmly in the city at this point. Quick question. Did you know that 9 out of 10 people who die do not breathe anymore?
9 out of 10? Wow, that's a lower statistic than I thought of. I thought it was 100% of the people who are born are going to die.
The fifth person is an actor or actress in a TV series or movie, so they get up only to die in the next series.
That's right, when they bring them back for the reboot later on.
With that in mind, affirmative action is dead. Long live DEI.
Well, is DEI the same thing, just repackaged as affirmative action? Because I think DEI is worse, because affirmative action actually, you know, had a list of targeted groups. DEI is this amorphous goo that can be whatever, you know, the redistributors of wealth want it to be.
We have to ignore the fact that that lady in College Park, Maryland, has stated, burn down the nation, we'll rebuild it in my own image, you know. We have to ignore that and go with the more woke. Wait, that is the woke portion.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's easy to get confused, I understand.
Yeah, well, please excuse me. I need to go make an undocumented withdrawal from a bank, or I need to get to work.
Just don't wear a mask while you're doing it, okay?
Yeah. Okay, well, catch you later and enjoy the day.
Stay up to date on the congressional primaries and conventions.
Like a distraction from other things.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV News.